you can hide in the locker room, is saying you can't come out with your teammates if you don't do exactly what I say.
There were players doing that during the regular season anyway.
But it's a matter of an ultimatum. It's a matter of, they were doing that during the regular season, they were choosing to do that. They didn't have some rule with the threat of taking their money away.
They actually did have a rule.
Tossed on them.
They actually did have a rule on the books.
They had one that they weren't obeying.
They weren't. And that was one of the big problems last season, was a lot of people were asking, why aren't you enforcing your own rule? There is a rule in the NFL game manual that says all players must be on the field and must stand for the national anthem. They amended that rule today in this ruling to say, no, all players don't have to be on the field. If you want to go out, you have to stand. If you don't want to go out, you don't have to.
But that's even more absurd. I mean, that's the fact that that rule existed in the first place is absurd. But that's even more absurd to have it be, oh, so now we're going to... So it's either do exactly what you want, we want you to do, and act like it's the 1600s, or be separated from your team, who you're about to go out and play a very difficult game with.
I don't think anybody's going to have an issue with that. I really don't. And I think you're making an issue that doesn't exist.
I'm not making an issue that doesn't exist. It's a matter of, it's a sheer matter of the fact that I'm actually saying that an issue is being made that shouldn't. It's, why can't a football game just be a football game? Why do we have to have it be like, oh, well, we have to play the national anthem at the beginning, and you have to stand up for it. And if you don't stand up for it, you have to hide in the locker room while everybody else stands
because
up for it.
Because we have the national anthem before every football game.
Why? Why?
Because we're the United States. Because every country does this.
Okay, so that's a reason to keep doing it, just because everyone else is doing it?
We should just stop playing the national anthem? That's your solution?
We stopped a lot of other things that we copied from other countries that weren't necessarily
there
right.
There is no reason not to have the national anthem before a game.
There's
we should have the national anthem before a game.
Why?
Because there are a lot of people who like being in America, Shay, who like this country.
Are you implying that I don't like being in this country? Of course I like being American.
If you're saying get rid of the national anthem, I have to ask that question.
No, she's sung the national anthem.
I used to make money off of singing the national anthem. Yeah. My point is that if it's going to turn what should be the whole point of football, of any sport, of any anything, is to take our minds off of all of the stupid hypocrisy and politicalness and all of the stupid things we have to deal with in everyday life, and just be mindless for a second. When you pull all of that into something that's supposed to be that, it makes it no fun anymore.
The national anthem is not political in and of itself.
Well, it's not in and of itself, but when it presents, that's what I'm saying, is when it
becomes the players
that,
made it that way and the fans made it that
but when
way.
That's what I'm saying, is when it becomes that, the solution is not to perpetuate that and to make it even worse. The solution is to just take away the problem.
This is a reasonable compromise that they've come up with. And your solution is, no, let's blow up the national anthem.
I didn't say let's blow up the national anthem. I'm saying let's stop and think about why we're singing it at the beginning of the game in the first place.
Because the game is being held in the United States of America. That's why.
But the whole point of the United States of America,
other professional sport, every other professional sport does this. All right.
Okay.
If you want to go run a ban the national anthem at all
again,
sports
campaign.
Again, I'm
not saying ban the national anthem.
Go right ahead.
Think about why we're singing it in the first place, and don't perpetuate this terribleness of turning in something that's supposed to be fun into something so political and ridiculous.
Because for a lot of
by
people,
by telling someone that they have to stay in the locker room instead of being like, I don't feel like standing up right now.
Because
I'm about to go have my head pounded in. For millions of dollars, yes, but nonetheless, have my head pounded in. But you know what? Yeah, tell me that I have to stand up for 90 seconds.
This is a no harm, no foul solution. And you're really grasping
for
to find
you,
a reason not to like this.
I'm not grasping to find a reason not to like this. If anything, I...
So what's your solution?
My solution is don't place bans on what people can or cannot do of their own free will while a song plays, or get rid of the song altogether. One or the other.
Neither one of those solutions is going to work for the NFL fans. That's the problem.
Well, that's your opinion, not mine. I think ultimately that's the thing, is that it's the same as everything else. We just turn everything into a political issue lately.
You're right.
It's either take it away or...
And I also think that having just done the national anthem myself with the group
congratulations,
for the Red Sox and for the
so
Celtics,
cool.
One thing I learned was they don't even, the national anthem is really more for the fans that are at the game.
Yeah.
Because they don't broadcast it. Well, on TV, like it's really only broadcast when it's like a championship or
yeah,
like
I would say when it's like we're showing you every single
part
of this game.
Because I remember my parents asking me when we did the Celtics, they were like, "Oh, you know," my dad's like, "Oh, are we going to be able to watch it on TV?" And I was told no, because the national it's a marketing thing.
Well, that's
so it's really only for the fans that are present.
So we just had a caller who asked me to relay this message to you, Shea Spillane.
It's going to be mean, isn't it?
It's not going to be mean. It is basically we play the national anthem as a unifying moment, even though we may have two teams from different parts of the country, such as Cleveland and Boston, engaged in a very heated battle over who gets to call LeBron bad names. And the national anthem is a moment for all of us to come together before that game and say, hey, we're all on the same side here. We're all from the same country. We're here to enjoy this together. We share a love for this.
And I'm
now go kill each other.
And I'm not discounting that if anything drives my point home, that the point is not supposed to be, it's supposed to be a calming event. It's supposed to be, not calming,
no,
but
there's nothing calming
no,
about
not
a professional
calming,
sports game.
But I'm saying it's supposed to be a
we'll take you
unifying.
Out to, we'll take you to
be,
Gillette this season. You'll see how calming it is.
It's supposed to be, calming was the wrong choice of words. It's supposed to be a unifying,
and that's what the anthem does.
May I finish, please?
Maybe.
It is supposed to be something that takes us away from the everyday life bull that we have to go through. Something that's supposed to remove us from all this stupid political mumbo jumbo, all of this stupid bureaucracy, all of these stupid rules and ways we're supposed to be. I mean, you go to a football game, there are people pouring beers over each other's heads and slapping each other on the butt, and like it takes you out. It's supposed to take you out of normal society, and by placing all these rules on the national anthem, you're doing the opposite of that. You're bringing what everyone's trying to escape from into the stadium. And this is coming from somebody who spent many years singing the national anthem.
When you have one or two
games.
Players on the field kneeling during the national anthem, yes,
you look at them and say, isn't
that.
It wonderful that we live in a country where someone has the right to abstain from respecting
not
the national
your platform.
Anthem?
Not your platform, not the place and time. That's what the NFL has said. This is not your platform. And they are right to say that. Because that's what the issue was. The issue wasn't whether or not we should play the national anthem. The issue wasn't whether or not players should be compelled to stand. The issue was players kneeling, fans upset about it, ratings down by a third, stadium attendance down.
Note
how
that.
Do we solve
Note
this?
Note that. That's why it matters.
Now,
it doesn't matter because we have respect for our country.
How do we solve this?
It matters because they're losing money.
How do we solve this? Do we solve this by telling everybody, hey, NFL players, you want to play in our league, you're going to stand for the national anthem and you're going to like it? Or do we say, listen, we understand some of you are uncomfortable with this. You don't have to go out there if you don't want to. Entire teams can stay in the locker room if they want to. Some of them may choose to do that.
See, that's the very romantic way of looking at this. But
no, that's what was done here.
No.
That is the solution they came to.
But you're making
it seem as,
you don't have to do it. That's fine. It's more.
That's America.
You want to do this, you're going to get fined because you're making us lose money because all of our money comes from middle Bible thumping.
No.
Yay, USA,
what
America.
What that's saying is if you're going to go out on that field and you're going to be all about you when the national anthem is playing, you're going to feel that in your paycheck.
I'm sorry. Do you know any football player that's good that doesn't spend every moment of his day thinking that it's all about him?
Tom Brady.
Oh, please. He's the
kidding.
Worst. He's
yeah,
the worst
saying,
defender.
You were being sarcastic, right?
Your average offensive
yes.
or defensive lineman, actually. They're pretty much
kidding.
Like, and the guy that's the holder
because
for the punter.
It's all, because they're too busy kissing the butt of the guy who
yeah.
it's all about.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But those,
that's my point.
Those guys are just happy to have a paycheck and a chance to play, you know?
And that's, well, and that's all I'm saying is that it doesn't. Football, any professional sport, is neither the time nor the place to say, hey, we have to get really serious about this really serious political subject. It's like, honestly, and the people who are getting upset about any football player kneeling or whatever they decide to do, are people who don't even know what the hell they're talking about in the broader scope of the world.
That's not true, and that's a very ignorant thing for you to say.
It's not a very ignorant thing
for
you to say.
It is. Not,
people who get upset about that are people who rant constantly about, I can't believe they kneel during the national anthem.
A lot of the people who get upset about that are people who served this country and do not like to see the flag disrespected.
But it's because, not about disrespecting the flag.
They have
it's
bled.
About disrespecting...
And families of those who have died in the name of that flag.
I have friends. My grandfather is a Marine. My other grandfather was in the Navy. I have friends who have done multiple tours in Iraq and respected the fact that all those football players kneel during the national anthem because it wasn't about disrespecting the country. It's about disrespecting. It's about disapproving
of what
the country has become.
That's one point of view. There's another point of view that says you have to separate the flag and you have to separate the idea of America from what
from
is happening
state?
In America right now. Yes.
But that's the antithesis of what the country was founded on.
No, it's not.
It's about fixing things that were wrong. It's about the current state of things not being good enough and wanting to do something about it.
That's fine. You don't do that by disrespecting the flag in the eyes of people who see that as an act of disrespect.
You know what we should do next time? We should just pour a bunch of tea into Boston Harbor.
We know
that's what
we know how this debate
that
turned
would be
out. We talked about this
a lot better.
Crossfire hurricane
and the whole city would smell like tea.
Smell good.
I know, right? I'd love if Boston smelled like tea. Crossfire hurricane?
Yep.
Not Hawaii, right? That's not where we're
No. We'll get down there. Don't worry about that.
I don't know.
That was the code name, according to the New York Times, via leakers, of the FBI counterintelligence investigation against the Trump campaign.
Yes.
This is significant. And this is why this is significant. The FBI named it. And the fact that the FBI named it means that there was an organized operation within the Federal Bureau of Investigation, potentially the CIA, to conduct counterintelligence operations against a presidential campaign.
Yowza.
This is not good.
That's not good.
This is not good. And what you got is you got James Clapper walking around trying to create a false equivalence between this and the Hillary Clinton investigation. Well, the difference here is that there were potential criminal charges relating to how Hillary Clinton had stored her information. There was no criminal charge against the Trump campaign. There are a bunch of people running around spinning stories about Russia. And so the FBI decided they were going to conduct their counterintelligence investigation from within the Trump campaign by sending people in, known associates, known informants, to spy on the Trump campaign. This is where all of Donald Trump's talk about FBI investigators and agents and all the rest of this is coming from. And this is profoundly disturbing. We will hear more about this in the coming week, and we may talk about this in depth at some point in the future. Not good. Not a good look for the United States. Not a good look for the Obama administration.
Casino.
The movie or the place where you go to gamble?
Place where you go to gamble.
Las Vegas casino workers are going to be going on strike effective tomorrow.
Yes, tens of thousands of them have actually voted to authorize a strike next month. So it goes through tomorrow.
I thought it was, tomorrow's the...
Tomorrow's the day that the vote becomes official.
Yeah.
But it's if contracts contract agreements aren't reached before they expire at the end of May. And 99% of the 25,000 union members who voted at the two sessions yesterday favored authorizing the strike.
Does this mean I get to be my own croupier?
I was just going to say, do you need some
now's the time
blackjack dealing scraps?
Yeah, can I go down and deal some blackjack?
Scabs, yeah, what do you call those things? Scabs? Scrabs?
Yeah, scabs.
That shows you how much I don't know about doing that is that I don't even know what the thing is called. But I'm pretty quick with a deck, you know?
Yeah.
You
spot a guy who's counting cards. That's the challenge. That's what you got to be able to do.
I mean, me and my brother both aced the math SAT when we were like 13. I led the math SAT too, and I said to him, I was like, what are we doing applying to college? That's just the minute I turn 18, we're going to Vegas. Like, yeah. We are getting this done.
doesn't work out.
I mean, just kidding. Me and my brother definitely did not buy that book on counting cards.
Yeah.
Vegas CEOs. I'm just a lowly waitress and radio and comedian and stuff.
Ask that Harvard professor how that worked out. Lucky didn't wind up in a hole in the desert.
Oh, 21 is such a good movie.
Lays.
Yes, it is.
L-A-Z-E, Lays.
L-A-Z-E. I was going to say, like, the potato chip?
Nope, Lays. L-A-Z-E.
Sounds hot.
It is.
Lays. Let me look at my notes for Lays.
Molly, Lays?
I have no idea.
L-A-Z-E? Yep. I have no
like,
idea.
Like, you sure it's not Lazy?
Nope, it's Lays. No, it's not my wife. It's Lays.
Wow.
Oops. Did I say that out loud?
Wow. Meanie.
I love my wife.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
What is it?
It's
Molly strangles you with the cord to your head.
It's similar to Vogue, which we learned about last week. In that it is something that comes from a volcano.
Oh, like I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the stuff that's like, it's like rocks, but it's not rocks, and it becomes rocks.
It's what you get when the lava hits the ocean.
Oh, creepy.
And basically creates a fog of tiny glass particles that will kill you if you breathe them. And as if that isn't fun enough, the other thing you get when that lava hits the ocean, hydrochloric acid just kind of hanging around in the air. So that's fun.
That sounds horrifying.
Yeah. So that's the latest that we're getting from Kilauea, which is doing all the bad things that we thought it was going to do and will continue to do them for as long as it wants to because it's a volcano. I'm surprised no one's blaming Trump for it.
I mean, it is his fault.
I'm sure there's some way that it is.
It is his fault. Let's see. Teething.
The FDA announced today that teething medicines are not good for your kids.
I heard about that.
They're not thalidomide bad, but they're not good.
I was going to say, it's so... The drug is called benzocaine, and it's typically...
Benzos.
But it's typically, like, it's even in, like, as simple over-the-counter things as, like, Orajel and Ambisol, which is just, it's for general tooth or gum pain.
We've all used it one time or another. Works.
Yeah,
works like a charm.
I would say I had a friend in high school who was just addicted to Ambisol. Like, even when she didn't need it, she was just like, look, it's so weird, it makes my lips numb.
Yeah, a little dabble, do you?
But yeah, the FDA is asking manufacturers to stop selling their products that are intended for babies and toddlers that involve this drug.
Knowing the pharmaceutical industry, they'll come up with a new version that has opiates in it. Because, hey, why wait for kids to reach their teen years to hook them?
Yeah, I was going to say, why not start them early?
Seems to be where we're going in this country. North Korea.
Is very red.
Is that where
they
thought that the meeting they were going to have on June 12th, rather, might not occur?
Molly's got it. There's some
shocker.
There's some suggestion, but this is the thing. Like, North Korea is like, we're not going to go to the meeting. We hate you.
Yeah.
And President Trump is sitting there saying, "Nah, it's going to happen." And the South Koreans are sitting there saying, we think it's going to happen. Everybody's moving forward as if it's going to happen. And again, this seems to be North Korea making noise, trying to figure out what sort of concessions they can get out of us. The interesting thing that Trump said in all of this is, we are not going to require regime change as a condition for peace as long as you get rid of your nuclear weapons.
Okay.
So Kim Jong-un, you can stay up there, you can keep killing your people all you want. We'll give you billions of dollars, but you can't have any nukes. A good deal.
Seems like a pretty fair deal.
Good
reasonable.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as far as deals about nukes go, that's a pretty good one.
I'm taking it.
Monkey.
Monkey.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I heard something.
I laughed the entire time I read this article.
I heard something about a monkey.
It's so awesome.
I don't know this one.
Oh, God. I forget. As soon as you say it, I'm going to remember it, and I know it's good.
A monkey was the latest animal to have an air travel mishap when the primate somehow got loose and ran around a Texas airport on Monday.
I've been to that
airport. The monkey named Dawkins was on his way to his new home in Cotulla, Texas from Chicago when he escaped from his crate at the San Antonio International Airport, according to a spokesperson. Dawkins escaped at about 2:55 p.m. when it was in the process of being transported into a cargo holding area of an American Airlines flight. He was finally discovered. He was finally discovered going through the conveyor belt at baggage claim.
Can you imagine that? Like, you're standing there waiting for your baggage, and all of a sudden, the monkey's doing the rounds at the baggage claim.
That's what's weird is, like, ever since the first time I was on an airplane, I remember, like, going to baggage claim and being like, it looks like it would be so much fun.
To just ride that thing.
This is exactly what the monkey did. I've never believed in evolution and the fact that we're related to monkeys more than seeing the pictures of him.
They're intelligent, those guys. Very intelligent.
They get to live all our dreams.
Oh, God. Monkeys. I'm gonna just laugh till I cry again.
Or snort.
That's how you know I think something is very funny.
Revenge porn.
Oh. Something.
This was a yesterday thing.
I'm going to say, now I'm going to feel like you feel about the monkey. The minute you say it, I'm going to know what you're talking about.
Me too.
Nope. Don't know.
Facebook.
That's usually where revenge porn exists.
Has a solution.
To revenge porn.
Which they announced yesterday. Upload your nudes before someone else does.
Are you kidding me?
Upload your nudes to Facebook and they will create a digital fingerprint of them. So that if someone tries to upload your nudes in the future, they won't be able to.
That's, wow.
They're going to have a specialized team to work on this.
Yeah.
That's going to see all of your nudes and all of your sex videos. And I'm guessing somewhere down the line they're going to wind up on the dark web, but you don't have to worry about them being on Facebook.
That makes just
no sense.
No sense.
No, that's how you solve the problem of revenge porn. Give us all of your porn and we'll take care of you.
Here's how you stop a guy from embarrassing you. Embarrass yourself first.
Send us your porn so that
get in front of the embarrassment train and then tie yourself to the tracks.
Here's a better solution, ladies. Don't make porn of yourself.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
That should be a no-brainer.
The guy I almost married in my early 20s, I actually, like, right before I broke up with him, while I was in the bathroom, I went through his phone to make sure he didn't have any dirty pictures of me and deleted them. So I was like, he was a good guy, but I was like, I've been angry and vindictive before. This would be a good outlet for that.
We all have our moments.
Twitter. Speaking of, since you said Facebook, I'll say Twitter.
Is this in relation to POTUS? The real Donald Trump account?
Yes.
An appeals court has told the President of the United States that he cannot block people on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Because as a public official, he has an obligation to communicate openly and equally with everyone, including people on Twitter who call him bad names and post pictures of the Pope giving him the side eye and post memes and everything else.
And, you know, all the other funny stuff that people post and tag him in.
interesting case. And a case that I think we needed to have go through the courts. And as I've said before, presidents will always try and do things to amass power. And it is the job of the courts and Congress to put brakes on that power. And this was an example of that. There was no precedent for this. Constitutionally, you could look at it and say, well, it's public records law, but does that apply to a medium such as Twitter? The courts have said yes. The White House must abide.
It's very interesting. It's very similar to what we were talking about last week, how this is, again, with new technology emerging as it does, a lot of things are unprecedented. There are a lot of things that we have to be like, We have to discover, decide what, how we're regulating this, how, what the rule for this is, because it's not, you can't like point to Roe v. Wade and be like, yeah, abortion should be legal because of this.
Yeah.
Or like Brown versus the Board of Education and be like, yeah, segregation is illegal because of this. See this case from like 60 years ago? This is why this is illegal. It's like there's no, there isn't even any concept that can be precedent for this.
There was also,
which is why it's so interesting when it's like, it's really, it ends up ultimately being up to whatever judge ends up on a case like this. Yeah. That it's really, they're making history.
And I suspect this was always going to come down this way.
Oh, of course.
And I suspect that no matter who is in the White House at this moment in time, we would be running this through the courts, because every president is going to be like, I don't want that guy on my feet. Block him. Because there's no law that says you can't. Well, now there's a court order that says you can't.
Yeah.
So, injunction against the White House. An interesting side note to this is apparently Donald Trump's got a couple people on staff that write his tweets for him.
Oh,
that,
of course.
That doesn't shock me one bit.
I was going to say, you think that he writes all those? Come on.
And they deliberately mimic his style. Can you imagine having to face your children? And explain to them.
I just threw up in my mouth a little.
That the reason
trying to like pretend to be Donald Trump.
The reason Daddy keeps a roof over your head is because I can write the word "sad" in all capital letters with three exclamation points.
Fake news.
Yeah. Witch hunt. Sad. Yeah.
You're going to Stanford because of the word "fake." Yeah.
The failing New York Times. Yes. Someone's actually created a bot that will figure out whether or not Donald Trump wrote the tweet with a fairly high degree of accuracy. last one for you, summa cum laude.
I know this one.
What I did not graduate from college as.
I can believe that.
Shut up. I won a writing award.
That's good.
Summa cum laude.
I didn't graduate summa cum laude either.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Did you graduate
people in
cum
glass
laude
houses,
at all?
I graduated cum barely. I mean,
I would have graduated.
I didn't graduate.
I would
so
have been summa cum laude if it weren't for Italian class, in which I got straight D's. Otherwise, my GPA was a 4.0.
I know this one if she doesn't.
There
was a bakery in, I can't remember what state, but there was somebody ordered a graduation cake that was going to have summa cum laude written on it, and they edited it so that instead of it, so that it just said summa and then --, laude. They cut the cum out of there.
That would be
that, my dear, is why is how you know they did not graduate from anything.
Right?
Summa cum laude.
I want to say it's Texas, but I'm not 100% certain.
It was so funny.
South Carolina.
It was a Publix supermarket. Do not ask Publix to put summa cum laude on your cake. Because they have a policy that says you can't put anything profane on the cake.
So it was literally --. Yeah. I was thinking that they were thinking, I don't know how far into this I can discuss it.
Kara Kosinski.
I was thinking they were doing a cartoon of something.
Kara Kosinski's son graduated summa cum laude from homeschool. I don't know how you do that.
He is definitely wearing a Pokemon shirt in the picture of him.
He's the only one in the class. I hope he's going to graduate summa cum laude.
I hope so.
But he did have a 4.69 GPA, so that's, but mom's the teacher. Maybe she's inflating the grades. I don't know.
I would think so.
So she goes to Publix to get a cake, and they don't usually eat cakes. And she opens up the cake, and it says summa --, laude. And her response to this, quote, "The cake experience was kind of frustrating and humiliating because I had to explain to my friends and family like what that meant. And they were giggling uncontrollably. At least my friends were," said Jacob Kosinski, who was the young man whose cake had to be censored by the folks
That's
at Publix.
That's really pathetic.
I'm guessing no one at Publix was ever an academic achiever.
I would not. They think that there is exactly one meaning of C-U-M.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with your college degree.
No.
855-915-9636. Let us all have a moment of silence for the folks at Publix. Good on them for following their rules, but think creatively. Oh, wait. If they thought creatively.
Say think, period. You didn't have to say creatively.
If they thought think, creatively, they period. Wouldn't be at Publix. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Shea Spillane, Molly Gary with you until 9 o'clock when On the Town will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. When we come back, a class action suit has been filed against Monsanto. Some say this is a long time coming. We got to dig into the details of this a little bit. It is Memorial Day weekend. So at some point, preferably on Monday, though you can feel free to do this at any point over the weekend, take a moment to think about the people who have fought and given their lives for our country. In honor of that, here's a little bit of a deep cut from Roger Waters. You may or may not enjoy his left-wing politics, but when it comes to a memorial song and a song questioning the nature of war, valor, things of that nature, few do it better. This is WMFO Medford.
Joe, where you going with that dog? Rockabye Bay. On the treetop when the wind blows, the cradle will rock. There must be more delight than lucky strikes in some unlucky one. Folded flames and pipes and drums.
International struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag? It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
FO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me as always is Derek Gary. And chipping in with us this evening is his lovely wife, Molly, who is both cuter and nicer than Derek.
Got that right.
we're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock if you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. And quite the appropriate song choice, Derek,
yes.
I will say. Because we're talking about Monsanto.
Hey, we love Monsanto.
Oh, yes. Gotta love that Monsanto. For those of you who don't know, Monsanto is the creator of Roundup, and which is a weed-killing product. Weed, the kind you don't like to smoke.
Right.
And there is a man in California who
actually, it'll kill those weeds, too, I think.
It will.
It kills
theoretically.
Everything. It's, you know.
It kills everything that in its path, but apparently more than it's supposed to, according to a lawsuit that recently came up from a California groundskeeper.
Yeah. Dwayne Johnson is 46.
Yes.
He has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. A California resident, Johnson worked as a groundskeeper for the Benicia School District. His job included spraying Monsanto products containing glyphosate, the same chemical found in the company's Roundup weed killer, from 2012 to 2015. Johnson was diagnosed with cancer in August 2014, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. This is important. He blames glyphosate. Monsanto does not believe that their products caused the cancer. This is the key thing here, because there have been some studies in animals that suggest there may be a link between glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, the same stuff that you use in your backyard, by the way, to get rid of weeds, the same stuff you're spraying on your patio to get rid of weeds. I use it. Everyone uses it.
Yeah.
The same stuff.
I was going to say, like, that was one of my chores when I was a kid, was to use the Roundup to around the garden.
I use it all the time.
The same stuff that the Quaker Oats people got sued for, because there was glyphosate in their oats, that thus making them not 100% natural.
See, that I'm a little less okay with.
Right. And I complained about that at the time.
Like, I'm not eating Roundup.
You are. And this is reality. There have been some studies.
I'm not directly eating Roundup. Let's put it that way.
You are. Because there have been studies done recently.
I'm not like spraying it down my throat.
No, you're not, because that's bad for you. But there was one that came out just about a month ago that basically said glyphosate is in everything that we eat now.
Huh.
That's
scary.
Everything that we eat has some glyphosate in it. Unless you're growing it yourself and you don't spray any glyphosate anywhere near it. And even then there might still be some in it, because there is so much glyphosate being thrown around that it's getting into everything. So Mr. Johnson is probably not going to live to see the end of this trial. He is in very, very bad shape. But he is blaming Roundup and glyphosate for his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
That's sad.
I mean, it's one of those things where on the one hand you're like, okay, yeah, maybe it does have something to do with that. Like, maybe that is the culprit. But on the other hand, it would be the same as like, if I got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and sued Diet Coke because I used to drink 10 of them a day.
Right.
Like, which I, now I'm down to one, she says as she opens the Diet Coke bottle in her hand. But it's the same thing where it's like, or when somebody sues, well, I know this is a little different, because it's a difference between knowing something is harmful beforehand and doing it anyways, or... That's where I think this is a gray area, because theoretically, I mean, you know, it kills weeds. It's obviously not something, like I said, you don't want to spray it down your throat.
No, but it will make you sick, and you're supposed to keep it away from animals.
But you would assume, your average person would assume something that you can just buy in a grocery store aisle, if used properly, is not going to do that. And theoretically could. I mean, that's what I'm saying, is that it's going to come down to the science on this one, I think.
Well, we will remember that thalidomide was an over-the-counter tranquilizer many years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Coca-Cola used to actually contain cocaine.
There is nothing wrong with cocaine.
That's
cocaine
right.
is fun.
I don't know about that.
The EPA issued a draft statement on glyphosate back in December. December 18th, actually. And basically said... this is a draft human health risk assessment, that glyphosate is not likely to be carcinogenic to humans. And they studied it in terms of dietary exposure, incidental exposure in the environment, and occupational exposure.
Huh.
And the way the EPA comes to this conclusion is they look at studies of people who have been exposed to this stuff, in particular people who work with it on a daily basis, and they look for patterns, and they look for an elevated incidence of cancer. Now, there have also been studies done by European researchers suggesting that exposure to glyphosate in mice and rats leads to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Again, you get into the question of how much of the stuff are they exposed to? Because we heard the whole thing about NutraSweet.
Yeah.
And saccharin years ago, where they were like, saccharin causes cancer. Yeah, if you eat your body weight in saccharin.
Yeah, like
saccharin,
if you have like right. so much. Like that's
every
that's
single
what I'm
day. Well, and that's. Until you die.
Well, and theoretically, I mean, and again, that's where this is kind of a difficult debate, because it's the same as like, so say there's a coal miner who gets emphysema from everything he inhales. But is he going to sue coal? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a matter of, it's no different than the fact that my feet are in terrible shape because I've been waitressing for 15 years. Like,
yeah.
I can't sue the concept of waitressing to make me not have calluses on my heels.
Exactly.
Like, I... And if this man did indeed get the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma from Roundup, well, you're a gardener, you're a groundskeeper. Like, you're, it's like I said, it's the equivalent of me being on my feet. It's the equivalent
of the job.
Exactly. It's like the equivalent.
It's not, because it's not. The assumption that is made is that there, before this product, in the same way that you said, Shay, if I see it on the shelf in my supermarket, I assume it's safe to use.
Yeah. Right.
People who deal with pesticides and fertilizers and all of these things assume that any health risks are disclosed and have been documented.
Mm-hmm.
What I find interesting about this case is the timeline of this. Because as they say in the case, he started working with the product in 2012. In 2014, he is diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and keeps working with the product until late 2015, at which point I believe he became too sick to work and just couldn't work anymore. So what the jury is being asked is to accept that over the course of 2 years of extensive exposure, and we don't know how often, we can assume he wasn't using it every single day, but above average exposure over the course of 2 years was enough to trigger cancer in this individual.
See, that part I didn't know. That's, which is what makes me, I mean,
this is why we dig on this show. This is why, like, you get into this stuff.
I mean, I think about my grandfather, my father's father had emphysema for 15 years before he died. He just kept living. It was actually kind of hilarious because he kept going to the hospital and be like, bye, I love you, and then he'd be fine.
Yeah.
But he started smoking in the army in World War II. They would just, like, give them two cigarettes on their dinner tray and then they'd turn on a light and meant it was okay to smoke. But he smoked, like, two packs of unfiltered Lucky Strikes a day.
Oof.
For, like, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, a lot of people did back then.
And that, I think, is a very, it's very reasonable to point to the reason for his emphysema at the unfiltered Lucky Strikes.
Yeah.
Because it's two unfiltered packs a day for almost 50 years. Intermittent use over the course of 2 years,
yeah,
is not, I mean, that's, it would have to be, like, powerfully poisonous in order for it to actually have that much of an impact. I even think about, like, all the things I do to my own body and have for, you know, what am I? So I'm 32, so probably for 17 years. And knock on wood, last time I checked, I don't have cancer.
There is stuff out there that will give you cancer that quickly. There is stuff out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Radiation immediately comes to mind.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Is like, if you get an X-ray without the giant apron they put on you, sure, you can get cancer immediately from
that. But even asbestos, which
we had that removed from our basement, and it was no joke.
As we know now, a single particle of asbestos is enough to give somebody lung cancer.
I know, it's terrifying.
But even with asbestos, it took, in a lot of cases, decades from exposure to the point where the cancer set in.
That's what I'm saying, is that it's, and I would almost believe, or I shouldn't say believe, because, like I said, we don't know everything yet, but I would be more convinced if, like, it was 10 years from when he'd spent 3 years of concentrated time working with this chemical, as opposed to, like, this, you said, what, 2012 is when he started?
2012.
Like, that's nothing. That kid can't even write in cursive yet. I use, like, children and what developmental level they're at to define time.
That kid's still himself.
That kid doesn't know how to ride a bike yet. That kid's not in kindergarten.
That kid's still crapping himself. It would seem to me.
That kid doesn't know how to poop on the potty.
That if this was the case, that if glyphosate was harming people, this wouldn't be the only guy.
Exactly. There would be a precedent of some sort.
We would be talking about hundreds of people around the country.
Many, many more.
In similar jobs, all coming down with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
There'd be so many cheesy commercials on late night TV for lawyers you can call if you've been affected by it.
Yeah. And I don't want to defend... I don't want to defend Monsanto here because it is neither inaccurate or unkind for me to say that Monsanto is a mercenary company that has engaged in some very shady and downright criminal business
shady
practices.
Business.
Yeah, in different parts of the world. But in this one, I think what you've got is a lawyer that's reaching for a lot. And there's that little fringe in this country. It's not... might be doing it a disservice to call it a fringe because there are a lot of people who are against all of this engineering of our foods. They hate the GMOs, they hate the chemicals, they hate the whole thing. And they're salivating over this because they're like, aha, they're finally going to get Monsanto. They're finally going to prove that glyphosate causes cancer. Well, take a look at the facts in this case, and they just don't quite add up.
Yeah, it's a matter of it's a witch hunt.
I think if...
It's like you said, it's exactly that. It's, oh, we just got to get something to pin on these guys.
I think if this plaintiff prevails, it is going to be more a case of let's take the evil company down a notch than anything to do with the
liable.
Science.
Yeah.
And for Monsanto, if you're wondering, why don't you just give him a settlement and make it go away? Because if you pay a settlement, you are admitting responsibility. And if you pay the settlement, you are opening the door for thousands of other people to knock on your door and say, hey, I used Roundup. Hey, I got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I'd like money too. So that's how we get to this point. This will be an interesting case to watch. I think he's going to lose. And it's unfortunate that this guy has cancer. Sorry to... You never want to see that in anybody.
Yeah. I mean, nobody ever wants to see someone have cancer. But at the same time, this is...
I'm not going...
A losing battle, I'm pretty sure.
I'm not going to stop using Roundup.
And I don't mean the cancer.
Yeah. I'm not going to stop using Roundup. I don't think anybody else should stop using Roundup just yet. You know, I'm not going to go out and douse myself in it every single day, but, you know, for a little spot weed removal around the yard, stuff works. 855-915-9636. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Shea Spillane, and Molly Gary with you until 9 o'clock. When On the Towel, Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford, where we ask the question, Laurel or Yanni?
Oh, everybody. Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
MFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're wrapping things up here, and we're going to finish things off by telling you what's hot, which is our favorite thing from either the past week or the coming week. And as I do sometimes, I'm going to shamelessly plug. I am so pumped to be back at Somerville Brewing Company at Boynton Yards on Sunday night, performing my funnies on stage with a bunch of other super hilarious comedians. You can go to slumbrew.com to book tickets. They tend to fill up fast, so I highly recommend it. Sunday at 8 o'clock at 15 Ward Street in Somerville. If you know where the Target is, you can walk there from there. But again, slumbrew.com. It's going to be a great show, so please come play with me on Sunday.
If you are a Doctor Who fan and you have a computer, a classic Doctor Who fan, here's something you may want to know about. Twitch, which is mostly used for streaming video games and other nonsense, is going to stream all 500 episodes of classic Doctor Who.
Yowza.
In a marathon that is going to run from May 29th until July 23rd. That's how long it takes to get through 500 episodes of Doctor Who. So what they're going to do is they're going to run them in blocks. From 11 o'clock, from 8 a.m. Monday to Friday. And then they're going to repeat that block twice after that. So wherever you are, you're going to get a chance to see this. And they're running everything in order. So pick your favorite doctor, pick your favorite years, get on Twitch.
Pick your favorite doctor, pick your favorite who.
Get on Twitch and you can watch all of the Doctor Who. Kind of cool. I don't see myself watching this.
Please tell PJ Weston about this. He's going to crap himself.
If you don't have Twitch, by the way, these things have a tendency to be simulcast on YouTube. So if you do a little digging around, look for live Doctor Who stream, you will probably find it there. Or you can just go watch it on Twitch. PJ's on Twitch all the time anyway, we know.
I would say he probably already knows.
Yeah, he'll have to stop watching his Pokemon channel for a month.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture with So That's the Thing That Happened, which is the craziest news story we could find from the last week. For me, a Massachusetts. It's never someone from Massachusetts, but this week it's someone from Massachusetts.
Nice. We never get these.
I know. It's usually Florida. A Massachusetts man contracted to do work on a child care center in Foxborough is accused of hiding recording devices in a bathroom. Darren McNeil, 48, of East Taunton, pleaded not guilty Monday at his arraignment in Wrentham District Court to unlawful wiretap, possession of a wiretapping device, and attempt to commit a sexual surveillance wiretap. He was released on $2,500 cash bail, ordered to stay away and have no contact with children under 18, and stay away from and have no contact with staff and children at the Learning Experience. Police said on May 18th, an employee at the Learning Experience on Main Street called authorities to report a quote-unquote suspicious device in one of the adult bathrooms. When an officer arrived, a pen-like recording device was discovered. Following an investigation, police arrested McNeil and discovered three other pen-like recording devices in the same bathroom.